Again, Pastor John may be here at the end. He's flying back in, and he says hey to everyone. And if you were here last week, you were able to hear from him, lots of the vision and kind of where we stand with our finances and just, moving to the next level as a church. The very first week of this series, we gave out our phase two. We are in phase two of our church plant with First Baptist of Woodbridge, and we gave our phase two covenant that some of you may still have, and if that's something that you want to, say, I am in, you can certainly sign those and put them back at our Get Plugged In table. That was from the first week. And last week, it was very clear, it was very healthy about where we are and our finances. So if you were not able to hear it last week, I would ask you and to encourage you to go to our website and to listen to John's podcast from last week, because it really does clearly kind of say where we are and some different the specifics of Hope Hill Church. It was a great message last week, and I'm going to be closing out here with the treasure principle. So in your bulletins, there should be a fill in the blank handout which we're going to be finishing up today. And so we're going to go through that, and our text is in Matthew 6. So I'm going to go ahead, Austin, if you pull up the text, Matthew 6. This is Jesus talking. And there's tons in the scripture about money. Okay, money's always fun to talk about, right? It's one of the big three issues in marriages. It's one of the big three issues in everything. And churches sometimes don't talk about money because, it's just one of those things. But we feel that, God is very clear in Scripture about it. And it really isn't about money. It's more about heart. Because whenever he's, talking about finance, wherever he's talking about, us and our time and things that we're serving, it really has to do with a heart more than it has to do with funds. But I'm going to be in Matthew 6. This is a passage from Christ here, starting in verse 19. It says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Okay? That's the whole crux of this treasure principle, is that understanding. "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for the body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters." We're in 24. "For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." In 25, "That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your single life?" In 27, "And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Join me as we pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you. It's always right. It's always applicable. Be with us as we look into your word just today. We ask your spirit to be here. We ask it to be only your words are going out, and we ask for you to change lives today. Jesus, through your spirit, we ask you to just take reign of this service. Thank you for where we are, and we just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple things we're going to go over based on that passage in the treasure principle, which is what we're going to get into the fill in the blanks for. Okay, first one, is that God owns everything. I'm his money manager. God owns everything. I'm his money manager. And this treasure principle, which you see there at the top of the list, is by Randy Alcorn. There's a little book here called The Treasure Principle. That's what the study this morning is going to come from. And we actually have these books for free in the back if you would like them. We don't have enough for every single person, but we do have enough for every family. So they're back at the Get Plugged In table if you want to get one on the way out. Randy Alcorn, you know, this came out a few years ago, but this is a great principle book based on the fact of, you know, of this study. And so anyway, it is for you. Please take them. That's why we have them. Another church blessed us with them. Just the way it worked out would be perfect for us going through this. And so please take one in the back. And once every family gets one, then you're more than welcome to get more for that. So that's what we're looking at. The whole deal there, that he owns everything, that kind of changes our shifting of it. And you know, we understand that, you know, we are to be the stewards. So the little sub-point under there is that we are the managers of the assets that God has entrusted to us, not given to us. The fact that understanding this is all his, you know, it's not that he's given it to us, which, again, we can get, you know, into semantics over this, but understanding that he has entrusted us to steward. And so all of these fill in the blanks, you know, which is about finances, but it's you know, about our treasures for the treasure principle. We can also look at them from the aspect of our time and of our talents. Because that's one thing that, you know, talk a lot about, is that he wants our whole self. And our whole self to him, if we're kingdom-minded, is our time, our talents, and our treasure. So again, we're, you know, kind of focusing on finances, but even look kind of deeper, it's, you know, all three. Because if some of us are very, very wealthy, it may be very easy for us to give some treasure, right? And it doesn't really cost us much in the big scheme of things. So then, you know, God would also want time and our talents, you know? And there's some of us who maybe have lots of, you know, talents, but we don't really give them. See, again, all going back to the fact that God wants our heart. He wants our whole self. So, you know, that's kind of the perspective as we go forward with this. So the next one is, my heart always leads where I put God's money. Goes back to the verse that we looked at here in Matthew 6. It says wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And we can probably look at that. I know I can in my own life. Where my heart goes, that's where the funds go. You know, and so we understand, you know, our heart is going to be leading where we put God's money. As we're sold out to him more, then we're going to be able to place the finances there. Again, also our time, also our talents, as we're going there. So what we need to do here under it, the subpoint, watch what happens when you reallocate your money from temporal things to eternal things. From temporal things to eternal. Stuff like we're trying to do at Hope Hill Church. Giving out pies. Okay? Could that be an eternal thing? Yes. Right? Family could come, never heard about Christ. They could feel the love of Christ. I mean, they could trust Christ from getting a pie the way the Holy Spirit works without ever even coming to church or hearing the message. You know what I mean? So when we're giving out, when we're doing a free sale, helping folks who need it, when we're sending people on missions trips, doing these things, so we want to make sure that we as people, as believers, are, you know, understanding that, you know, as our finances, and then also us also corporately as Hope Hill Church, being missional, being about the relationships, that we're not just giving you things that are going to be here, but we're going to be giving to eternal things as we're trying to get the gospel out, which is what we're trying to do with our mission, glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world. That is the eternal piece that we're trying to do. Next one. Heaven, not earth, is my real home. Okay, I think we can understand that. That's if we are believers in Christ, if we trusted Christ as our Savior, which we believe, that heaven, not earth, is my real home. And then the sub-point under it, which is taken from Hebrews 11:16, says, we are citizens of a better country, a heavenly one. And certainly in this area, we understand the idea of citizenship. Okay? We understand the idea of, you know, there are many people who live here in this area through, you know, in D.C. who maybe aren't citizens of this country, maybe citizens of another country. And the word citizen is very important because that really shows where our home is, what our, you know, real home is. And so we understand if he's talking about, you know, in this, that we are citizens of a heavenly one, talking about us as believers, then we understand that's our real home. Again, this is our temporary place where we are now on the earth. We need to be focused on the, you know, kingdom. I mean, that's the whole idea up at the top, being kingdom-minded. It isn't about this church, it's about the church. You know, it isn't about, you know, right here and now. This is about the legacy that we're leaving for our kids and our grandkids, and, you know, kingdom-minded, and understanding that, then this isn't our home. You know, we need to be investing into the future and understanding our real home is that, you know, heaven, is that, you know, if we've trusted Christ. So we need to understand that. Again, it's really easy to do that, him using the word citizen, you know, for us to understand that we're citizens of heaven if we're believers. The next one, I should live today not for the dot, but for the line. Kind of that whole kingdom perspective. The dot is where we are now. You know, if there's like a, you know, I'm not a math person, right? But the whole dot and then the line segment, it's like, you know, the dot is where we are right now, but that line keeps going. And as we make choices and get deeper into Christ and really want to, you know, understand that, then we're living for down the line. We're living for the, you know, eternal things as we're, you know, putting that into perspective. So the subpoint, from the dot, which is our present life on earth, extends a line that goes on forever, which is eternity in heaven. Now, we can't get that because we're people. We're like, you know, we don't have the same mind as God. All through Scripture, there's mysteries that only He holds. Forever is a long, 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 long forever time, which we can't grasp. But that's where we're going to be longer than we are here. All through Scripture, it says our life is but a vapor. You know, we want to make it count now. We want to be investing into Him now because our real citizenship, where we really are going to be, is forever. So we just want to make sure we got that we're living for the line. Next one, fifth one, it says giving is the only real antidote to materialism. Giving is the only real antidote to materialism. Your story, Rob, of giving the, you know, family the needing a towel, which I think many of us who have given to folks in need, who have able to been take part, whether on a missions trip, and seeing what we can really give, that is the antidote that makes us think, wait a minute, okay, are my priorities right? You know, are we doing these things right? And again, giving is that antidote. Again, not just finances on this, okay? Because we can get wrapped up into all about us for our stuff with the materialism, but we can also do that with our time, with our talents. We want to keep it all to ourselves. This is all about me. And when we get beyond that and say, no, God, this is really yours, not mine, then that's that real antidote to that materialism that we don't get wrapped up in. So the subpoint there, giving is a joyful surrender to a greater person and a greater agenda. It dethrones me and exalts him. Again, the whole kingdom, right? Many times we are living our lives that we're on the throne. We're in the driver's seat. We're the ones doing that. But if we want to be sold out to him, it is a greater agenda. This is bigger than us. This is larger than us. You know, most people say, you know, what do we want to be remembered for? Making a difference in, you know, in the world. Well, we want to do that as believers, making a difference for Christ right here. A greater person, a greater agenda. It dethrones me and gives him glory. It exalts him, which we want to make sure that we're doing. Last one. It says, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. Okay? When he's doing that. Again, this is finances. If he's prospered us, we should be able to be giving more back because this is his character. God's character is a giving God. Okay? Not just finances. Okay? Thinking of the talents. right? He's given us these talents and these gifts, not for us, not to prosper us, but to raise our standard of giving. You know, many of you make this church, you know, what it is. With the gifts of the worship team, of the setup team, the organization, the serving, I mean, all of that, we are the church. And again, as God has prospered us and we're all working together like the body of Christ, then we can give back more, right? We can understand that. We can all work together as we're giving. So the sub-point here, God gives us more than we need so we can give generously like Him. Because our goal as believers, as Christians, is for us to be like Christ, for us to be like God. And one of God's main characters, you know, characteristics, is His generosity. You know, being generous is giving to someone when they don't deserve it. We don't deserve salvation. We are sinners. We all have sin, and yet He died on the cross for us. That's just one aspect of His generosity, giving and giving and giving. So we want to make sure that we act out God's character. One way we do that is by being generously. So the summary here is that He wants our kingdom-minded hearts, okay? Not about just right now, not about our family, not about me, not about just this church, not about just this area, but kingdom-minded. If we have that kingdom-minded focus, then churches can work together. There's many churches that we, you know, partner with, Image Church down the street, lots of churches from Liberty University that we're partnered with that's helped plant. The church that Crest and I served on down in Raleigh, C3, kind of, you know, gave funds to help us come here, and other churches working together because these are kingdom-minded churches. And if we're that way as believers, right, then we can truly impact the world. The greatest commandment, as we're looking, you know, it says, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" They're trying to corner Jesus. They're trying to, you know, get Him pegged. And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." We've probably all heard that. Greatest commandment. Love Him with all. Right? All our heart, all our soul, all our strength. That's that kingdom-minded. That's not, "I'm just going to give a little." That's going to be say, "I'm going to sell out to Him." And it's not just about that. It's love our neighbor as ourselves. So, we need to understand it isn't about us. It's that love our neighbors as ourselves. Again, the whole missional aspect here, giving these pies out, trying to adopt families. That's hopefully what we're trying to say here is living that out, loving our neighbor as ourselves, being a missional, you know, true church that is glorifying God, impacting lives, and seeing, you know, transformed lives is going to impact the world. That's what we're trying to do. Live these biblical principles out. So the whole deal of that is that he doesn't need our stuff. He doesn't need our talents. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need that. You know, they're all His anyway. The difference is he wants it. Okay? He wants it from His children. We as believers are His children. He doesn't need it because it's all His anyway. He wants our heart. Okay? That's what He's after. It isn't about, you know, all the different things. It's about our heart. All through the New Testament, He's wanting us and our hearts for us to sell out to Him. Our time, our talents, and our treasures. If you go ahead and join me as we pray, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up now. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. They're just going to start playing quietly. And all of us have different levels. You know, all of us have different time to give, different talents to give, different treasures. But again, it isn't about that. It's about our heart. So maybe you're sitting there and thinking, you know what, maybe I feel led to give a little bit more in this area, more of my time, more of my talents, more of my treasure. And, you know, I just want you to just be praying about that right now. Say, "God, give me clarity. What am I supposed to give back to you?" But there may be some of you out here who've never trusted Christ as your Savior. As is talking about being a citizen of heaven or about having a relationship with Jesus, you know deep down that you're just kind of going through the motions. You've never come to a point where you said, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that I'm a sinner, and I can only have salvation through you. You know, you don't have a relationship with him. You can just pray a simple prayer quietly, right into your own, you know, it's just you talking to God all through Scripture. Very, very clear. It's, again, about our heart. And if that's something you need to do, I want it quiet just for a few seconds. And just go ahead and just right now, give in. Maybe the Holy Spirit's just working on you. You're feeling, you know what, I need to do this. There's no magic words. Again, it's all about heart. And just say, Jesus, I love you. I'm giving in. I need a relationship with you. I'm sorry for what I've done. I want to trust you. I do believe in you. So if you need to do that, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and again, you know deep down, just you know, pray that. Others in you who already have, I want you to have confidence in that. I want you to understand and have assurance in your salvation. And to just maybe just to be praying for the others and, you know, praying for you know, other stuff that you may need to give back. So I want it quiet right now, just hear music playing, just for you talking to God, talking right to the Savior. Jesus, thank you for this moment, and we just want to thank you for those who were just praying to you, maybe those who just trusted you just for the very first time, maybe those who are praying about just Jesus giving more of their time, talents, treasures to you. And God, we just love you, and we just ask you to be with these decisions. Let them just go down deep. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can just look up here real quick, and we're gonna have a time of response here in just a second. On your seats, there's a little thing that says some of the opportunities to serve at Hope Hill Church. Some of you have already turned this in. If during the response time, you may just want to kind of maybe look at this, say, is this something maybe God's leading? Fill this out. It's just real simple. And you can slide it back in our offering box and the place where we have for our cards. And as well, if you're out here today and you just trusted Christ for the first time, you just made that profession of faith as you were just praying there, and this is the first time, on our cards, there's a little connection card, there's just a spot on there to say, I trusted Christ today. You know, I want to know more about following after Christ. If you check that and, you know, give that in at the Get Plugged In table, we'd love to be able to follow up with you on that. So let's go ahead and stand up right now. And we're gonna have a time of just us to us to respond back. We were just sitting there praying, and you know, we can worship. We're gonna have different people over here that can help pray if you need specific prayer need. And as well, we have our a time where we're gonna serve the communion up here. And again, as you feel led, there's no pressure. If you choose not to partake, that's okay. We just want this open. We want the Spirit to lead, a time of freedom for us to respond to Him for what He's done today. So let's worship.